Monster.
It's Wine. And this podcast may not be suitable for all ages.
The opinions we have in our podcast aren't necessarily the same of those of the Comic Bastards.
So blame us if things get too saucy.
Or too awesome.
Let's go!
If you peek behind the curtain, you'll see that we are coming to you on a Saturday, people. Who are we? It's Monster.
It's Wine.
And it is the Monster and Wine Hour of Power with a bag of flour.
Poof.
And yeah, we're doing this on a Saturday. Things happen, but you don't know that. We're just letting you in on the process, okay? If this were like on YouTube or some hipster network, it'd be like a montage of us like talking into microphones, slow motion, like indie music playing, and people laughing in slow motion. it'd just be like this thing, like behind the scenes with Monster and Wine.
Yeah.
So now you know.
This would be a Michelob Ultra.
Something horrible like that. Just guys with t-shirts, beards, and ball caps with big frame glasses. Just laughing in slow motion.
Oh, Bill and your beard.
We're just living that millennial life.
Oh, man. Driving around in our infinities that park themselves.
Not interested in being a parent. I want to be your friend.
We don't keep score.
You know, real talk, people, it's been in the 70s all week, and then yesterday in very Colorado fashion, boom, snow.
No Colorado.
Yeah, just snow and 40 degrees. I was like, okay, all right. We had our fling with spring. And then that. But today, there's no trace of snow. It's as if it never came, like a thief in the night.
We were never here.
Yeah, so, yeah, that whole thing. Got a few things on the agenda.
This is first I'm hearing.
Fucking Nintendo.
Again with the Nintendo. Fucking Nintendo is right. Jeez Louise.
Well, they sucked me in.
Did you buy one?
Oh, no.
I was about to say, who are you?
Haven't even found one. I did buy a Nintendo product yesterday, or maybe it was the day before.
What?
A mobile game.
You're part of the problem.
Nintendo, listen. Nintendo is in the mobile business these days. Got a few nuggets out there. The one they just recently released for Android is Super Mario Run. And
all right, do tell. Is this some sort of a game to get people to actually run?
Hell no.
Oh.
Nintendo, they know their demographic too well.
Silly, foolish me.
Yeah. It's just a Mario game where it's optimized, obviously, for your mobile device. You can play it with one hand. Mario's basically just running left to right, and you touch the screen to get him to jump, like Mario fashion, and collect coins and jump on little monsters. And it's a Mario game, but a one-handed Mario game. And, yeah, it's really good graphics for a mobile game. It's crazy. I was like, look at you, Mario, you little fuck. Is you going to win any awards? No. But it is a great way to take a dump, in my opinion.
I think that we
that should be on the poster.
Yes, taking as you're pooping.
Great way to take a dump.
This isn't my idea. I've just heard it and think it's a fantastic idea. These game developers need to get a game to get to where people feel incentivized or that it makes it fun, whatever. Because obviously people love to play these games, but for voting. Like, somebody needs to come up with that so that people will do their civic duty and vote.
Well, yeah, most Americans would vote if you promised them a free combo meal at the fast food restaurant of their choice.
Most Americans would vote if you gave them a lotto ticket. I saw on the news this week that somebody someplace did that.
Yeah.
Okay, hear me out. You know how Powerball is big in all these states, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the states that have Powerball in it, there should be some, I guess people, I know you have to finagle and tangle with voting rights and all of that, but maybe just throwing it out there, if you vote, you're entered to win in the lottery.
Well.
I mean, it's sad, but.
I think that would end up being a decision that the lotto council would have to come up with instead of like a government thing, obviously. So whoever runs the lotto board would have to be like, you know what? Let's try and get some people out there voting, guys.
Well, the problem is that it's not in the people. It's not in the people who hold these positions, your lotto boards, your other boards, your blah, blah, blahs, and your yada, yada, yadas. It's not really in their best interest for everyone to all of a sudden be engaged and voting.
Like then you're barking up the wrong tree.
Well, no, I'm not barking up the wrong tree because it's got to come from the people. I'm just giving an idea out there. Maybe there are people. Maybe I'm being too cynical. Maybe the lotto board or whatever. But, the way it is now is that it definitely benefits a certain number of people. So the whole idea of how to get more people to vote, it's a two-way street. Like, people also got to get off their lazy asses and do some work, you know. But I don't know. I'm just trying to toss out ideas to, because apparently that's all that we like to do is just have incentives. Everything needs to be incentivized.
The cynic in me would tell you that even if you gave people incentive to go and vote, then the next hurdle would be getting them to make an educated vote.
Yes, yes.
That'd be the next hurdle. Because they'd be like, fine, I'll go vote because you promised me a double quarter pound of a cheese combo meal and I'm hungry. But do I know who these people are in this ballot? I don't know. Like, that's the hard part.
I know. And that's the part where it's like, yeah, you know, maybe you can take 15 minutes to learn who these people are. Because...
there's your challenge.
Because, you know, maybe you're on Medicaid. Maybe you like your kids' public school. Maybe you like it when, like, the last time your house caught on fire, the fire department came very quickly. Maybe you like all of these services and whatnot. So maybe you can give back a little bit.
Well, there you have found the major problem. Not so much getting people to vote, but to care about voting.
Ay, Dios mío.
There it is.
And therein lies the rub.
Yeah, therein lies the beautiful steak rub.
Well, when you have people, they're like, excuse me, what now? You're gonna take away my health insurance? Then you get people.
That's the only time. That's the trick.
Wait a second.
That is the sad irony. To get people to care enough to vote, you have to have something happen. It's very human nature. That affects them directly. It's like the scared straight program. Like when they have a brush with death or a flirting with disaster or something where it hits close to home or such movie taglines, fear comes home. then that's when people tend to wake up and start caring about issues. That's the sad thing. It's rarely a proactive thing. Yeah. It's usually, all right, you want to fuck with my benefits?
Yeah.
Me directly? My benefits? You sucker.
One man's benefit is another man's entitlement.
Yeah. But until that day comes and that person's that lazy person who's just like voting, I can't be bothered, or who gives a fuck? That's the hard thing. Yeah. Making someone be proactive. Looking at the big picture, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I guess it would be nice if we taught, you know, like stuff that had happened in the past. What's that called?
History?
Oh, yeah. Weird. Yeah. Huh. All right.
Who knows? Maybe it starts in a school level where they just try to get it into the kids really early on, the importance of voting. I don't remember that ever being a thing when I was in school.
I had, in 12th grade, I had a class and it was called civics.
Yeah, but you didn't have to take that.
No, you did.
You know what I mean? So
I did.
I'm saying it needs to be kind of an important thing that's taught to kids from a very early age throughout elementary, middle school. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to get like the elementary school kids, obviously, drowning in the misery of the world and issues that they would be voting on. That'd be more of a high school thing. But just kind of reiterating the importance of voting year after year as a student, I think would maybe plant a seed in a lot of young people. But it was never a thing when I was a kid. And I don't know if that played a part into me not giving a fuck about politics in general for a long time. It could be. Who knows? But I'm sure it didn't help. But if we had that school, it might have helped. You never know.
Just an idea. Your civics class in high school was elective?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the thing. Every school, not all schools play by the same playbook. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that we have someone now who's in charge of the schools that's going to be right on top of the list there. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure civics is.
You know, and that's another problem with the education system is not everybody has to take the same classes, and kids want options. Schools wouldn't be able to give kids options, but there are some things that you have to think to yourself, wouldn't it be better off if we reinforced this to every child?
Well, it's not in the people, it's not in their best interest. It's in their best interest for us to have dumb children.
My point is, Aaron, the more we talk about this, do you see how deeper the hole gets?
Yeah.
The hole that we're digging keeps getting deeper and deeper as we talk it out rationally. It becomes a thing like, well, maybe we can give people incentives. Okay, well, now we have this hurdle, and then there's a few more digs of the shovel, and they were like, well, how about we get them at a younger age, a few more digs at the shovel, and now we're in China. We just dug so deep.
Now there's no voting for anyone.
Yeah, we didn't strike any oil. We just ended up on the other side of the world, and we're just shrugging our shoulders. Yeah, so
I would rather dig than just not.
I know, but we're chasing that rabbit, that elusive little white hare.
I'm going to get that fucker.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a complete systematic reboot, which is probably due, but where do we go? I mean, oh man, fight the future, fists up, posters, propaganda, but leather jackets and sometimes denim.
And sometimes denim. Mm. The and sometimes denim political party.
Let's mix it up. Like equally awesome patchwork on both types of jackets. So yeah. We're hanging out in Sichuan province now. Oh, speaking of China, not really. Any updates with the car? I know there are some people that like the car talk segment, and they like updates.
Yes. All right. Well, when did I leave them last? I left them last with I had made an appointment to go test drive the Hyundai.
Yeah, the Hyundai Elantra Echo.
Yes. Did I discuss the recall, the great recall scare?
I think we talked about the brake recall, and we weren't sure if it applied to that model or not. But if we didn't, we just did.
Yeah. So I went. They pulled the car around.
And how did it look? What was your first impression when they pulled it around and you saw it live and in person?
I was like, oh, that looks nice.
You liked the way it looked. You were kind of like, I can live with this. This looks nice.
Well, when I was waiting for the guy to show up, I was inside and I saw an Elantra Sport, which pretty much looked the same, but it was in blue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I really like this color blue.
Oh, shit.
This is a nice blue. This is my jam.
It's like a real dark navy.
No, it's like the same. No. It's maybe just a hair more vibrant of a blue as the car I have now.
Mm-hmm.
In its heyday. The car now, you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just like it. It's not a navy blue. It's a nice, solid blue. Mm. Yeah, because they don't really have that many options in colors, honestly. So when I saw this one, the Echo that I was test driving, it was white.
Okay. I was going to ask, what color did you end up driving?
It was white. I'm not really big into getting a white car. I don't want a white car, I don't want a black car, and I don't want a silver car. All for different reasons. White gets too dirty. Black also gets too dirty. And I live in the valley. Like, really, I want a black car? In the scorching heat? Well, you had a black car.
Yeah. I'm all about that black.
Yeah, but then the water spots.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that can be an issue, but I like black. I'm a sucker for black.
So I'm not. So then like silver. You have your dark silver, which I really like, and your lighter silver. My problem with the silvers is that everyone has a silver car. I'm just driving on the highway, and I'm looking around, and everyone has a dark gray or a gray car. Mm. So I'm just
saying, not a lot of colorful cars on the road these days, is there?
No, and if they are, they tend to be like weird oranges or yellows or like lime greens.
Yeah, something bold and kind of outrageous.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I don't want to go bold and outrageous.
Uh-huh.
So I'll tell you what, though, the Honda Civic, that new Honda Civic with that new weird, it's like a hatchback but not a hatchback back design.
Yeah, yeah.
I do really like that. And
I do too.
The red that they have is nice. That's a nice red. The problem with the nice red is that's Highway Patrol catnip.
Maybe that's why I don't see so many red cars in California.
Right. But, man, I saw one today, and I was like, that's a nice red. But I don't think I'm a red car person. So, anyway, back to the test drive. So, okay. He brings it out, and I get inside. It's got a key. I looked on the outside because you know how they have, this is what comes included in the car. And then these are the packages that this car has. And you see how much it like all adds up. So on the Eco, everything was included. The only thing that they added to it was stuff for the tires and like crime deterrent stuff.
Okay.
So I really like that. I was like, oh, okay. Everything that I'm about to see comes standard in this car, which is nice.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff included, like I get in, It's got, you know, your USB cable with the display, and everything that's on your phone is suddenly on the display. So that's great. That's fun, hands-free. You've got the backing up camera, rear camera.
Pretty cool.
You've got the like the blind spot sort of things on the side mirrors. That's really cool. As far as like the eco goes, there are two modes you can drive it in. You can drive it in the eco mode, or you can drive it in the sport mode. The guy said that the difference between the mileage you get isn't really noticeable.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, okay. That has to do with...
So did he ask, like, why would I even bother changing it then?
I think it has more to do with the handling and the steering. I'm sure that if you bare bones it down to it, that the drive type or category is probably a better mileage, but I don't think
maybe it affects the way the engine lets out the power.
Yeah, and he said it had to do with steering.
Okay.
And the controls of it. So okay. When I got in, though, the fuel was on low. So I was like, well, this isn't going to be a thorough test driving experience. And I basically just went around the block. I kind of punched it to see what the get up and go was, because it does have less horsepower than what my current car has. But I felt I felt the pick me up. I liked how it drove, how the steering wheel felt. But when I had asked them about the, because I was rattled by this recall, and so when I asked them about it, he's laughing because Jason had to virtually slap me via email on Friday.
I'm actually really laughing at the use of the word rattled.
I was rattled. Like,
shaken to my core, like rattled to my bones.
It rattled me.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows how just much I've been looking forward to and dealing with this experience. So as I'm kind of like rounding the bend of, you know what, I think that I am going to break and go with this vehicle. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, have you heard? There's this huge, massive recall, because sometimes there's something to do with the brakes and the component was manufactured incorrectly.
Right.
Like, that's not like my vehicle still has a recall for the airbag.
Yeah.
And that's but like, your airbag deploying and your brakes going, two different things.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was rattled. And when I asked the two people I asked about it, they had no idea what I was talking about.
Which is curious indeed.
So I was like, what? Well, was I the victim of the internet?
Well, I mean, that's very plausible as well.
Right?
Yeah.
So they said that, well, unless it's on the Hyundai site, there's, you know, it could just be a rumor. And I made the joke about, you know, Toyota slinging mud at them and stuff. I'm like, you're getting all this all this standard. Toyota's probably pissed.
Right.
Yeah, so just around the block, I was like, all right. I didn't know. I'd never operated a keyless entry car. Keyless ignition car.
Oh, me neither.
I was like, how does this work? I was like, well, you put your foot on the brake and you press the button. Because I pressed it the one time and it just turned on, like when you do your key kind of halfway. And then it was like, why don't you press it one more time? I don't think the car is completely on. And then I pressed it, held it a bit longer, and then it's like, oh yeah, there's the engine. And then... Wow. To turn it off, you just have to make sure that it's in park, and you just press it.
Future is now, people.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. So, and then when we got back,
the other guy, he came back out and he said that he had looked and he ran it through and he didn't see any recalls or anything. Yeah. So I was like, all right, okay, that's, it's good to take into account. So I didn't, I mean, there wasn't anything about the driving of it where I was like, well, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. But, you know, tomorrow I'm going to go and check out the Corolla L.
Right.
Hopefully give that a spin.
Yeah, try not to blindly fall in love with it just because it is the sibling of your current car.
I don't think I am because it's more expensive.
I see. And if anything will smack you into reality, yeah, it's the price tag.
Yeah, I'm kind of more looking for what are they going to give me? Uh-huh. You know, like what? Because that's what I liked about the Hyundai, as I said before. I look on the side, everything that I was interested in already included. I don't have to get any sort of packages to add on.
That's a big deal.
Right. Yeah. So I want to see with the Corolla, what is it that it just comes with?
Yeah, I think my problem with the Corolla is there's 8,000 different models, different packages.
There's
trims.
Too many, and then there's all these different packages and trims.
Right.
And so I am going to drive it to just get the feel for it and to see and to be like, oh, okay, and mm-hmm. have something to compare it to.
Now, let's say you're not really feeling the Corolla for whatever reason, whether mm-hmm. it be the car itself or the price tag or what have you. What will be the next step? Will you be test driving a Mazda 3, perhaps, or another car?
Wait, you sent me the info on the Jetta, right? And that was the one where it was like, yeah, the insides and blah, blah, blah.
They said the insides felt a little cheap
and dated. There was
considerable road noise.
Right.
Which, you know, never fun.
Okay. I would have to, I'll have to see where the nearest Mazda dealership is.
Right.
Because if it's someplace like super far away, I'm be like, ah, I don't know. They didn't sell me enough to get me in the door.
Yeah.
And two, I would have to look at the price, because the problem with the Mazda 3 is that the best price that you see is usually for the manual transmission.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always cheaper.
Yeah, and I'm not looking for that.
So unless you have another car in mind, it sounds like the Elantra might have quite the lead in terms of what you're looking to possibly get.
It's got great gas mileage. It's got a great warranty,
which is always important.
It's got all of sort of the inside stuff that when I look around to other cars is going to cost extra money.
You like the look of it.
Right. And so far, it's the cheapest.
Right. You like the price. You like the drive.
The dealership is in a relative, it's manageable.
Right. If you had to take it in for any kind of servicing.
Yeah. Completely manageable dealership. So.
Okay. It's got a good lead right now.
It does. It was completely redesigned body type.
There was styling. Nothing in your head that when you left, you said to yourself, well, I didn't really like such and such about it. Was there anything
no,
like
the
that?
Only thing was this whole, when I left, was the whole, is there a recall on this with the brakes? That's been like the only thing. Well, okay, I take that back. That and it has the least amount of horsepower to other cars in its class. But then I've done reading on how they do it and the whole physics behind it, and that it's actually faster in the 0 to 60 than the Corolla.
which is where you'll probably do most of your driving.
My 0 to 60?
Would you think?
No, I'm talking about the speed. Like it
takes. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, to get from 0 to 60. Yeah, yeah.
And really, when you drove it, you didn't feel like there was like this noticeable, like significantly noticeable difference in kind of the get up and go of it.
No, I didn't. But it was that was only around a block. I didn't get to like take it on the 5 going up that hill to Santa Clarita.
Exactly. Heading up that on ramp, trying to floor it.
Yeah, with the. But from what I felt, I was like, oh, okay. And based on the times, I'm like, well, it can't. It's not going to be that much. I mean, it's not going to. It's not a Mustang. It doesn't have a Hemi in it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, is it only noticeable on paper, or am I going to feel like this huge significant difference?
Yeah.
Which, and if you can get past the difference on paper and enjoy the way that it handles, then you might have yourself a front runner at the moment.
I think I do have myself a front runner at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm going to find... I don't really think there's a better deal out there for 2017.
Yeah. All the stuff like that's standard. When you factor in the year, the price, everything that comes with it, your overall impressions of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that's accurate.
Now, here, does your car have a spare tire?
I don't even know. I don't even know.
My current car does. The Elantra doesn't. And the guy said it's because to cut down on the weight, which makes the car get better mileage. But they have this thing for 5 years on their warranty, which is like their roadside assistance. So they're like, oh yeah, they'll just come bring you a spare tire. And I was like,
honestly, I think a lot of cars are doing that now.
Yeah, I do too.
I think spare tires are kind of a thing of the past, it seems. Yeah, I have that that kind of auto assistance thing, that 24/7 roadside assistance thing with my used Civic, and I've had to use it before, and wow, it really comes in handy. Like, they're super nice when you call the assistance, like, and you tell them your problem, and they tell you who's coming and who to look out for, and they even call you, like, one or two more times after that just to make sure you're okay, and then, like, to see if the people had showed up yet.
I have AAA, and they were the same way.
Yeah, it's pretty great service, actually, because I had a dead battery. And I was kind of like nobody around. And I was like, well, all right.
Let's see if this works. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sounds pretty good, though, from what you're saying.
It does. It does. And it sounds even better now that my check engine light is back on.
It's like your car is giving you some sufficient notice. It's like it's putting in its 2 weeks at your office.
It really feels like it. It really feels like, because the check engine light, because remember it came on and that's when the whole thing started, because they're like, oh, you need a new catalytic converter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after it, the engine wasn't on, so I just figured, well, they reset it. And then this week the light came back on, and I'm like, well, is this the catalytic converter or is something, is this another issue? So now I'm super listening to it, and I'm like, you know, nothing's clunking. It doesn't sound like, oh my God, this is it. But I am kind of like, I don't think you sound the way you used to. I don't think you purr like you used to. I think you're about done.
Yeah. Like, if you're its employer, it's enjoyed its time with you, but they're giving you notice.
Yeah. I feel it checking out.
Yeah, and you gotta maybe really consider trading it in towards your new purchase while it's still operating. Because it'll be a whole different value of, does your car still run, or are we just taking your car like a dragon? Because I think the value will change a little bit. Does it run? No. Ooh. So,
yeah.
That's some food for thought on that also. I know that's an annoying kind of time thing, because you don't know when your car is going to do what it's going to do, if it's going to do it.
I just want it to last one more month.
Yeah.
Just give me a month.
I think it's going to try for you.
This is the time. It's like they say with basketball and the March Madness. Like, this is the time where you find out who you are as a competitor. And I feel like this is the time where this car is going to let me know. Even though it's been there for 15 years, ride or die.
Yeah.
It's how it's you like,
close
the
what more
the
do
game.
I need to yeah. prove to you my loyalty?
You need one more thing is what you need to do.
You need to give me another month, you son of a...
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, I for one, hope the old Corolla hangs in there.
I do just too. Hang in there. Just hang in there.
Give mama some trade-in value.
Just one more month.
The last thing I can do for you, Mom, is to give you some trade-in credit.
You hang in there!
Dragging itself onto the new dealership.
Just wheezy.
Like a army soldier filled with bullets crawling.
But it's so cold.
So cold. My engine sound effects, in case anybody wondered what he was doing. Well, that's interesting. That's exciting, though. Maybe one of these here episodes, you'll spring it on us that you got yourself a new vehicle.
I'm going to be like, good news, guys. I've gotten a new vehicle. Bad news, this is the last podcast, because Podbean did not make the budget cuts.
Podbean.
You're out.
Pick us up. Yeah. Problem is, new car, but also a new bill.
Yeah.
That is the double-edged sword. That is the new car. Unless you can just drop a briefcase full of cash on them, and then you're a special individual.
Oh, I forgot to check 7-Eleven, check my lotto ticket, and to buy a new one.
Could be sitting on a new car and don't even know it.
Don't even know it.
Yeah. Lord knows I'm playing that Monopoly game at the grocery store. I think this is my third year now, and... it is such addictive.
How does that work? Is it the same way as the McDonald's?
You get this big-ass game board. And I think when you buy certain items or certain... I think it's a certain items system. You get a game piece, a Monopoly game piece. And with each piece, you get 4 Monopoly pieces. And you look around the board, and obviously you stick the pieces where they go, and you got different prizes and whatnot. And much like prior years, and this is no coincidence, people, I'm at the stage where I pretty much just need one piece for every prize on the board.
Oh, man.
And you know they've probably only made like 2 pieces of each of those for the entire fucking country.
So you feel like you're so close.
It is the ultimate dick tease game. Because you start tearing pieces and you're like, oh my god, look at all these pieces I just got on this last trip to the store. And then you're like, that's a double. That's a double. That one, that's a double too. And then as your pile of pieces gets smaller, you're just like, man, isn't this bullshit?
What are the prizes?
Let's take a gander, shall we, audience? Because I was just on that website today, because They also, with your pieces that they give you, they also give you a code with each piece that you type in on their website to see if it's like a winner or not. And they've teamed up with that Fandango. So when you type these codes in, you might get a piece. And you need 10 pieces to win a prize. And I just got 10 pieces. Woo! And basically, the prize is like $5 either towards a movie ticket or Fandango's movie streaming service that I didn't even know they existed, or $5 towards like any kind of like mobile app or some bullshit. So I did win that recently, but fucking whatever. Let's see what kind of prizes they got. I wonder if the old website here will list them. Because right now it doesn't look like they will. Dead air. Aaron, kill some time. I'm going to grab my board real quick.
All right. Well, he All goes. Right. Okay, he's back? No, he's gone to grab the board. Dead air. What should I talk about? I really like this brand of kettle corn that my supermarket has. Like, to the point where I can't stop eating it. If I open the bag, everything's going to get eaten. I can't quit the kettle corn. It's either full bag or completely empty bag. It is so delicious.
What did you tell the people about while I was grabbing the board?
This kettle corn that my supermarket has. I think it's Simple Life or something. Whatever the Kroger's brand is of just kettle corn. And it's a full bag. And I eat it in one sitting.
Sounds tasty.
It is so delicious.
I like some kettle corn.
But I have forgotten the past 3 weeks now to buy more dental floss. And when you have the kettle corn, man, it does a number to your gums.
Yeah. Little brown seedlets getting stuck between your teeth and stuff.
Everywhere. You wake up the next morning and your gums are all swollen. And I'm thinking, I have a cavity. And I'm probably like, no, it's probably just popcorn shoved up in there.
Price of deliciousness.
Oh, so delicious.
So let's take a look at some of these prizes, eh?
Yay.
All right. So we'll start at the Bobo bullshit, which is like the little stuff. $5 cash, $5 grocery gift card, $10 cash, $10 grocery gift card. And next to each one, it tells you like how many prizes are available for that prize. $15 grocery gift card, $25 Fandango gift card, $25 cash. Now we got the $25 gift card mall, which... you know, it's just a variety of gift cards and you get to choose. $25 grocery gift card, $50 grocery gift card, $100 cash. $100 grocery gift card, $200 cash, $200 family picnic, $300 smartwatch, $500 grocery gift card, $1,000 laptop computer, $1,000 grocery gift card, $1,000 cash, $1,500 LED HDTV, $1,500 gas grill and groceries, $5,000 groceries, $5,000 in cash. Then we move up to the big bullshit, $10,000 family vacation, $10,000 four-wheeler for all you rednecks.
Damn.
I know. I'd be like, can I trade this in? I don't need a four-wheeler to break my neck on. $20,000 college tuition. That'll cover you for a semester. $35,000 vehicle of your choice. Hey, you could use that right now.
Yeah. How much is it?
$35,000.
Wow. I mean, that would, but my head would probably explode because there, that just opens up so many other options.
Yeah, there's 25 of those available. $40,000 home makeover.
What do you do if you don't have a home to make over?
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. Like, if they said, hey, you won this, and you're like, all right, what are my options? $100,000 cash or luxury car?
Now,
I gotta assume most people will go with the cash.
Well, you're going to pay taxes on either of them. If you get the $100,000 luxury car, you still have to pay the titles and taxes on it, right?
Sure.
And then it's automatically depreciated.
15 of those available, by the way.
You would have to take the cash.
Yeah. And then the two big, big prizes in the center of the board are a $1 million vacation home.
AKA, that's becoming my home.
Exactly. Three of those are available. And $1 million cash. Three prizes available.
And how long does this game last?
Now you're talking. Let's see here. I don't want to mess my board up. It's folding. It's like fucking origami. May 9th.
So you've got some time.
Yeah. And then the deadline to submit your board is May 30th for anything over $200. Because $200 is the limit if you want a store to verify this. You can play this at Albertsons, Safeway, Shaw's, Jewel Osco, Acme Pavilions, Amigos, Vaughn's, and a bunch of stores I've never heard of. Hmm. There's a store called Tom Thumb. Hmm. I'm shopping at Tom Thumb. So, and, you know, 90% of the prizes I just named, I'm like a piece away from winning, like, all of them.
So, man.
The ultimate dick tease, like I said.
Yeah.
I got a movie review.
Ooh, what is it?
Star Wars, a Rogue One. Actually, it's called Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Ah, yes. I have seen this.
Quick synopsis for those who don't know. Former scientist Galen Erso lives on a farm with his wife and young daughter, Jen. His peaceful existence comes crashing down when the evil Orson Krennic takes him away from his beloved family. Many years later, Galen is now the Empire's lead engineer for the most powerful weapon in the galaxy, the Death Star. Knowing that her father holds the key to its destruction, a vengeful Jin joins forces with a spy and other resistance fighters to steal the space station's plans for the Rebel Alliance. Well, look. This is a movie that cost $200 million, and it's made $1 billion.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Now, I've had people say, oh, I really love this. This is a great movie. My friend Chris said it's one of his favorite Star Wars movies. He's a giant Star Wars nerd. And I gave him a score out of 5 when I was done with it. What do you think I gave it, Aaron?
Man. Jeez. Out of 5 Star Wars, I would say 3.5.
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
I gave it a 2 out of 5. Now, this news shocked my said friend, Chris. He just said, really? Really? And I said, truly, madly, deeply, Savage Garden. Now, he asked why? Why? I'm going to give you the quick rundown here. I'm going to make it quick. My biggest problem with Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, was that I didn't care about any of the characters in the movie. I didn't have a connection with any of them. I didn't care if any of them lived or died. I just didn't fucking care about any of them. None of them compelled me. I don't know if this was subconsciously, like, because I knew what happened in the story, because we already know what happens in this universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really say, but I just didn't really care about what was going on. I didn't take to any of the characters. I found them all forgettable. In true Star Wars style, I found a lot of the dialogue very cringy, but I felt that more so in this because of the delivery of some of these lines. I got the douche chills. Very cringy, cheesy dialogue. It just kind of made me realize that maybe I don't give a fuck about the Star Wars canon as much as I might have thought I did, and that maybe I'm kind of better off just sticking with the main Star Wars movies. But I also said, you know, that time will tell on that one, because I'm sure Rogue One is just going to be one of many Star Wars stories to come to the theater. And this is just the first, but it didn't do anything for me. I'm a big Donnie Yen fan, and he's like the blind dude in this fucking movie, in case you don't know. His introduction was so Hong Kong kung fu flick generic. Like, they were like, hey, we got this Chinese dude. Let's make him fight with a stick. Let's do the most cliche thing we can do and surround him with stormtroopers with guns. But he's going to school all of them. He's going to be in the circle of all of them. I was like, okay. All right. It's stupid. I didn't like his character. Worthless. Flushing down a fucking toilet. I was like, what a waste of Donnie Yen. And if here's a drinking game for all you Rogue One fucking Star Wars nerds out there. Take a drink every time Donnie Yen says the Force. I swear to God, you put a counter in the corner of that screen, you'll probably reach 100. The Force, the Force, the Force, the Force. Fuck off, Donnie. And I'm sorry I said that to a hero. A man that I love.
A hero.
And, you know, my buddy said, you know, fair enough. He said he didn't love it as much as the main storyline per se, but he really liked the effects. He liked the gritty feel of it, like it was going for this war movie vibe, which, yeah, it is. You know, the third act is very war movie. But I told him my problem with that, and I knew where he was coming from. I said, I feel you, bro. I feel you, bro.
I feel you, bro.
I said, yeah, they were going for a more gritty vibe. But my problem there, again, was that the movie never felt like it took itself serious enough to be that effective with, like, this gritty third act. I was like, where'd this gritty third act come from? Because the whole rest of the movie was a fucking shit show, all goofy. I don't even know the fat Hawaiian guy's name. I just called him Moana. Which could be racist, because that's the only Hawaiian I could think of. But, again, forgettable characters. I don't even know Donnie Yen's character's name, and I like Donnie fucking Yen.
He's blind dude.
Yeah, exactly. Bunch of forgettable characters. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to know what happens in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, give me 2 minutes here, starting now. I gave him a pause just for fun. Okay. They killed Donnie Yen went out like the biggest bitch in I don't know how long. I'm supposed to think he's this dope, badass, blind Chinese dude that can fuck you all up. And he's got the Force. The Force. That's how he speaks, by the way. I'm not being Chinese racist right now. But he went out like a bitch. He basically gave up. I was like, wow, you just gave up. You walked out there and just gave up. And then Moana follows in suit just to hug your fucking carcass and goes out equally as bitchy. It was just terrible characters. I didn't give a fuck about them. Spoilers over, by the way, for all you people just tuning in. Again, yeah, fuck all of them.
Oh, spoiler alert's back on. I forgot how he went out.
Who? Donnie Yen?
Yeah.
Oh, they're basically bunkered down and there's all these stormtroopers shooting at him. And he just kind of walks out into the center of the fucking dirt again, being surrounded like he did when you first saw him. And he's just talking about, he's just doing that stupid Jedi prayer over and over again. I got the Force because the Force is with me. I do the Force because the Force, or whatever the fuck he's saying.
Oh.
And then they just shoot him a billion times and he just eats shit. I was like, dude, could you not like go out fighting at least? At least. He went out like a total chump. And then his fat boyfriend comes in running behind him. No, my blind lover. And then they fucking blow his ass apart. I was like, good riddance. That's right. To the two of you. You fucking scumbags. The best part of the movie, spoiler alert. The fucking ending with my boy Darth Vader showing up and wrecking those rebel troopers. Easily the best part, but I bet
nine out of ten people
would say that was the best part.
Didn't we know that that's what happened? Because that's where A New Hope begins.
Exactly. That was my best part because you got to see that and you got to see it bookended, like tied in to the next movie. I liked the way they connected it. I thought that was very nice.
Very, very nice.
It's always good seeing Darth Vader doing his thing, rocking people with a saber, a couple of force choky chokes, some throwing. But very disappointing movie. I guess I don't know. It just did nothing for me. Did you like it, Aaron?
I liked it, but I didn't love it. I liked the other Star Wars movie better. My problem was that I didn't get super invested in this because I'm like, well, nobody survives this.
That could have been what affected me too. Like I said,
we
I'm
know
not
how
sure.
this ends, and it is very. I get it, like, the story, and I did like that they made it into sort of this war movie because they kind of had to. And it's like, man, they went through so much to get this. You know, like, the information and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, well, they all have to die at the end of this. This, like, we know that they succeed.
I think the problem we're having there, I think it's a bit of a cop-out for us to say that it wasn't that interesting because we knew how it ends, because I think there are still prequels out there that are really good movies, even though you know what happens in their next film in the series. Mm-hmm. I just think that this wasn't that interesting the way they did it. Because there are good prequels, even when you know what's going to happen. Like, it's a story worth telling. I just don't think that they told this story well at all. And I blame a lot of the characters and the dialogue.
Yeah. For me. Probably because I just... Then this is the problem that we're going to have now. We're going to have this problem with Star Wars, which is the same problem that I think we have with all the comic book movies and the Marvel movies and stuff, is that just every year there's going to be a new one of these. And for people who love it, they're going to be super happy and excited about it. But for somebody like me, I'm going to get tired of it. I really enjoyed the Star Wars movie that came before this.
So did I. That's easily a 4 out of 5 for me.
It was really fun. And I was like, yeah,
Oh, right.
Great characters that were memorable.
And it had all of the things that I really liked about, like, when I was a kid and really liked Star Wars and stuff.
Yeah.
And I never went down the whole fanatical track of other people and getting super into it, but I just liked it well enough. And then I went back and The Force Awakens, and it was like the same thing with, like, Stranger Days, how it just tickled that nice childhood, you know, nostalgia kind of thing. And then this was just like, well, this movie wasn't made for me, because it's obviously made for people who are really into that. And it's, and now I'm getting the same feeling of, like, with all the Marvel movies. Like, you would go to a comic book movie and you'd be like, well, I just kind of know what's going on in the comic books, you know. And you could kind of follow along. But now that everything's so inundated that everything is its own movie, and I just don't, I don't care enough I don't care enough about
that world.
And, like, and
I think that's what it made me realize, too.
And the thing is that I guess I do care about, like, the traditional Star Wars sort of thing. But these, like, these offshoot stories, I don't know if I'm going to really care about them. Because, it, again, it doesn't have, like, the characters that you know. It's... You know, if I'm, yeah, like, it's a good war movie and stuff, but I don't, like, I don't know. When it comes to, like, war movies and stuff, I...
But you know what makes war movies memorable is the characters.
The characters, like, if, and the...
Because war is hell no matter what kind of war movie it is, right? You're supposed to feel like the war is horrible. And in this movie, the war is horrible for the people in this universe, but I didn't care about the characters, so I was bored. Like, when I watched Saving Private Ryan, they've established such great characters that when they start dropping, it's effective.
Yeah.
These characters, I was like, can we kill them now? Is that an option?
It was just okay. That's how I felt. I probably liked it. I wasn't, like, mad like you were, like, oh, these characters. But I was just like, okay, this isn't... I'm not enjoying it as much as I kind of hoped that I would have.
Yeah. I'm just reading some of the critics, like, little snippets of their reviews to kind of get a consensus.
No.
Yeah, and no surprise, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, but that's what they're, because that's what everybody does now. Now that Disney has it, we're going to be getting a Star Wars movie every year, pretty much. And it's just like how... Today, some Justice League trailers coming out, and I'm like, I'm over comic book movies. I don't care.
I would just agree with Jordan Hoffman from The Guardian, who says, while its whole purpose is to tread water, I was ready to do cartwheels in the aisle by the end of this latest spinoff. I'm assuming that he means he was just ready to get the fuck out of there. He might mean cartwheels because he would loved it so much. Yeah, but
you don't really know.
I'm cartwheeling the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I think that he loved it. I think. How are you gonna? I've never seen anyone angry do a cartwheel on an aisle as like a pro, like, fuck you movie. I'm gonna do cartwheels in the aisles to get out.
Well, then I'm not like that guy.
That seems...
I took that the wrong way.
That just... I wish that somebody would do it, because it just seems very ridiculous and counterintuitive.
I guess I'm just so dark with it that I was just like, I'm ready to do a jig kind of thing once the credits are rolling.
And everyone's like, you loved it?
too. And you're like, no, this is a hate jig.
This is a hateful jig. This is a jig that symbolizes my freedom from this film.
Can't you hear? My jig is in a minor chord.
Yeah. Kevin fell asleep during it, he said. Oh. He fell asleep in the theater.
Yeah.
Anywho, whatever. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but I think I'm just going to wait for the Last Jedi. That'll be the one that I'm curious about the most.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me some of those good old-fashioned Star Wars characters.
Indeed. Although, you know what sequel that I'm probably not going to get to see it in the theater, but I am very curious about it, is T2 Trainspotting 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I really like Trainspotting. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that they got back the director and the cast, and that it's 20 years later.
Which explains why Johnny Lee Miller has a shaved head on Elementary now. Yeah. And it's funny because they keep bringing it up every time he meets someone new. They're like, oh, lost a bet. Like, nah, just promote the movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah. How much time we got? What are we looking at?
Oh, we're at 1 hour and 6 minutes.
We've given you too much, people.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, 6 minutes? Enjoy that. You ingrates.
It's probably more than you deserve.
I just spit on the floor. Anyway, look, we made it. We made a mountain out of a molehill. I thought that was a pretty good episode, people. And I'm gonna hope that you agree with that. Okay, I'm trying to form my thoughts right now as I wrap this up. And as always, monsterandwine@gmail.com. ChaChaChaTV.com. 10-year anniversary. And until next time, true believers. Arrivederci.
Okay, we're out.